Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. Thanks for listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius. I am Carl Nordgren. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill, the very best radio station in North Carolina, and that's been true for 5 years in a row. As you heard in the introduction, this is the show that brings you an expansive view of what it means to be creative. I refuse to define it for you. I want you to be thinking about what it means to be creative. But that means I want to give you some prompts, right? I don't want to leave you hanging. I want to give you some prompts. I bring you my own thoughts. But one of the best ways to give you lots of different perspectives on what it means to be creative is to have guests. And I've got another awesome guest who I've just met fairly recently, Judy Batista. Thank you very much for being here. Judy is a bilingual speech and language pathologist. I've never met anybody who does that in two different languages. That's going to be so cool. She's the founder of Laughing Monitos, and if that's not one of the coolest names for a business, here in Chapel Hill. We met recently at on a panel for the UNC Launch Program.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, Judy, tell us a little bit more about you, and then we'll get kicking off here.
Hi, Carl. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. Like you said, I am a speech language pathologist. You are going to feel my passion for what I do. I also very much love what my entrepreneurship path, which I am the founder of Laughing Monitos. I am a proud Latina. I am originally from Miami, Florida, transplanted 5 years ago and started this journey of entrepreneurship. I love what I do.
Very good. I'm looking forward to hearing more about the journey, but let me ask you to go all the way back to those early days where you're discovering the world and discovering life, and I'm sure bringing the same enthusiasm you have now to those discoveries. And what did that look like, you as a creative child? What were you like as a creative child?
Yes. So I take after my mom. So we are immigrants of Dominican Republic. My parents are. And so I remember to make ends meet, we had to all go out on the weekends and sell out in the streets. And we would sell a range of things like sheets and all these things, flowers, water, whatever it was. And so I always looked forward to those days, mainly because it meant we got to get a treat out of whatever money my mom made. But it also set this expectation of how important it is to work hard and do things together. Like we were very young, and we still would wake up every weekend and pack things up and go in our car over to whatever place we would and just stand there and sell whatever it was. And after that, I remember telling my mom, I want to start making scrunchies and selling them at home, at school. And so we went to a fabric store and we would buy like half a yard of Looney Tunes and all these cartoons and some elastic. And so I would make these at home every single day, and I would sell out every single time.
Awesome.
And so that was, I want to say, the earliest entrepreneurship ideas I had. And from there,
And so how old are you? What grade are you in when you're
selling scrunchies? I think I was like 11.
Okay.
I may have been 11.
So that's about fifth grade, sixth grade, somewhere in there?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. When I did the scrunchies, we were doing like helping my mom much younger.
Earlier than that,
and
right?
So, yeah, it really cultivated this.
Well, cultivated work.
Yeah.
A work attitude, but it also cultivated this creative
Correct.
Engagement. I mean, yeah. The scrunchies, that was your idea and you executed it and that's all creative work.
Yes, yes. And so I've always had this creative mind where I think of things and I've just never had the, I guess, the push. I'm not a risk taker. So I've never had the push to execute it. But okay. I've had these ideas that okay. people are like, that's so good. And you should have done that. So...
Well, let's go from here to starting on your journey. And I've heard you say earlier that one of the reasons why you were so attracted to this field of communications was because how important communications were for bonding your family together. So you've talked about how tight-knit you are as a working unit. You're communicating so well within that unit. You're observing the importance of communication, and then that leads you to where you're going? Is
yes.
that a fair assessment?
Yes. So communication, I feel that having parents that are coming from a different country into a country where they are monolingual in a different language, following different cultures, a different culture, it's very shocking. And so I grew up in this home where there was one way of communicating. And then when I went to school, there was another way of communicating. And so speech and language has always been important. We have been translating for my mom since we were little. And so using that communication, even early on, we would use gestures to try to communicate whatever our mom was saying. And so that really grew on me how important it was to have a form of communication, whether it was through gestures, whether it was through language, but communication is essential
yes.
for humans. And so that's where that speech pathology passion grew.
Well, I love this notion of the physicalness of it too.
Yes.
Right? It's not yeah. just the spoken word.
That's right.
You would communicate, and I think I've seen some crazy, crazy statistic about how the vast majority of what we get from the message comes from reading somebody's body.
That's right.
I mean,
that's
it's right. such a high percentage. I'm afraid to quote what I remember it to be because it seems outlandish, but yeah. it is very much true that it's our bodies that communicate.
That nonverbal communication is so important in your eyes and if you frown, or yeah, it's just incredible how much we use of our body to communicate all types of feelings.
I hear that loud and clear. That's great. Well, folks, we're nearing the end of or at the end of the first segment. We're going to be back for two more. And when we come back, Judy's going to take all this wonderful passion that you've heard starting to bubble up and come together and coalesce together. And she's going to talk about taking that journey to get to where she is now with her business. I sure enjoyed hearing it. You're going to enjoy hearing it. Come on back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Hello and welcome back. Thanks for coming back. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren and my guest, Judy Batista. In the first segment of the show, Judy told us a little bit about her background, about growing up in an Afro-Latina family, growing up as a young entrepreneur, helping her mother with a weekend business that they had developed. And what really interested me was to hear her talk about how important communications was to bringing that family together. And so it's no surprise that her great interest in communications has led her to the business that she's in today. Judy, we'd love to start to hear more about the actual service that you're providing, the important service that you're providing.
Thank you. So Laughing Monito is we offer play group therapy. And so we
play
provide
group therapy.
Yeah, play group therapy. Okay. So typically you will see a speech pathologist doing individual therapy, which is great. And it's not a replacement. This by no means is a replacement to those speech pathologists. But this is a form to carry over the skills that you learn in individual therapy, carrying them over into a social aspect of communication. So we really focus on the social communication skills. We also focus on early detection and early intervention. We statistically, we know that 1 in 5 children will develop a speech delay.
Whoa.
And that has possibly increased since COVID, because a lot of children were kept out of socialization and all that. And so we want to try to reduce the amount of children that go into needing services. We want to try to catch them early, detect that delay, and make sure that we address it as quickly as possible.
How gratifying that's got to be when, in fact, you do that.
Yes, absolutely. It's the small little changes and progress that we notice. Parents, when they come to us, they're concerned. They're not quite sure what's going on with their child, but they know that they're not using words or sentences.
Right.
And so they come in and then they start off with one play group and they just continue to participate in them. We provide a lot of parent education. I think that is the most important thing in our therapy sessions, is that the parents get to carry over a lot of what they learn in our sessions and they get to implement it at home. And so repetition is important. Continuity is important. So those are all services that we provide.
Outstanding. Outstanding. And when you were telling me a little bit about this, I mentioned that Judy and I were on a panel together. It was a UNC launch.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is one of their entrepreneurship initiatives. We were on such a panel together. And you were talking about some of the strategic partnerships that you were forming with organizations to make this play-based therapy work. I found that really interesting.
Yeah, that's another great thing. So recently, we've partnered with Minds of Every Kind Sensory Gym, which is over in Chapel Hill in the Governor's Village area. And it's a sensory gym that has different equipment for children.
Let me make sure I heard that correctly. Minds of Every Kind.
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
And they have different sensory equipment that children can play with. We will be hosting play groups there on Saturdays. I've also partnered with Kidzu Children's Museum here in Chapel Hill. I also host our play groups there on Mondays. And it's been great to collaborate with a lot of these entities that are as passionate as I am.
Yay.
So.
And I thought I heard you also had a partnership going on with somebody down in Pittsburgh, or did I mishear something?
Yeah, Pittsburgh, I'm trying to get into the libraries to try to get parents involved in understanding developmental milestones related to speech and language. So that's something that I'm still working on. And if you're listening out there and you need a speech therapist, please call me.
I would think libraries would really embrace what you're doing.
I think so, too.
Bringing in folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And creating folks who understand the importance of language.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So one of these play-based groups, is there an optimal number of kids? Is there an optimal range of ages? Tell us a little bit about the right dynamic there.
Yes, so we have two programs. We have First Words, which is for children 18 months to 24 months.
Okay.
And then we have Language Growth, which is for children 24 months to 36, which is 2 to 3 years. And so we want to really, in our First Words, we really work on having that communication skill, starting those communication skills. The likelihood is the ones that participate, the children that participate, are already delayed. And so it's getting them to communicate using single words, potentially maybe 2 words. Once they get into the language growth program, it's about building vocabulary and building social communication as they prepare to go into preschool.
Right.
So those are the two programs that we have currently, and we will be restarting in the fall. So in August, we'll be restarting. It's an 8-week program. We want to make sure that we track the progress. And so we do pre and post test, and so we can track how much they've improved.
Yay.
So, yeah.
So there's got to be research. I've read the research on reading skills. I've recently had two guests about a month apart that were part of two youth reading programs, Bill Fletcher with NC Reads and Denise Rowan from the Freedom Schools. And so I did read some research that shows, oh, my gosh, how important it is to have reading fluency as early as third grade. What does the research show about our confidence in just simply speaking?
Absolutely. So speech and language is that foundation of everything else that comes on top. So academic, literacy, and all that. And so when we have poor speech and language skills, we tend to have poor literacy skills. When we have strong speech and language skills, we tend to have strong literacy skills. And we know based on research that at the third grade, there's a lot of research that has shown that the level of literacy skills that those children have can predict the incarceration rate in the future. They can predict the college dropout rate. They can predict the college retention rate. And so the higher your literacy skills, the more likely you are to be successful, gain a job that is a higher paying job. Where we don't address these delays and we allow them to grow out of it, which is not true. Kids don't grow out of those things. When we don't address those issues, what happens is that we get into school. Now they have poor academics, poor behavior, poor literacy skills, which then, in fact, will lead into higher incarceration rate, college dropout.
Well, to be doing such important work that also brings you such joy.
Absolutely.
Isn't that a treat?
Yeah,
I mean, that
it is.
Sounds like that itself should be a lifetime ambition. Do important work that it sounds like a calling, in fact. And so, folks, we're going to learn more about Judy as a creative person when we come on back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back, folks. This is the third and final segment of our great show that we're having with Judy Bautista, who's telling us about Laughing Monitos, a business that she has started as a bilingual speech and language pathologist with an unusual delivery of services strategy with her play-based strategy. I know you've got a couple more things you'd like to share with folks about your business.
Thank you. I want to share with all the parents that are out there listening the importance of early intervention. Go with that gut feeling. If you feel that your child is a little delayed, even if it's minor, seek professional services. You need someone to take a look and let you know. There's nothing, you don't lose anything. On the contrary, you gain knowledge. You understand how to help your child if you speak to a specialist. So don't wait. If there are pediatricians out there or your child's pediatrician is saying, let's wait 6 more months, just think about it. Those 6 months are going to be added to that gap. And that gap, if your child is already delayed, those additional 6 months keep them further away from that developmental age that you want to keep them closer to. So please, 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 early intervention is key.
So important. Let me also say it. Early intervention is key. I grew up with close friends of another family who didn't have early intervention for a child who became a very angry child when, in fact, he was just a child who had very poor hearing. And that, of course, would have been a significant frustration. So early intervention. Folks, if you've heard the shows where I ask my guests to talk about their creative profile using a taxonomy of creative types that includes the following. Are you creative because you're an artist? Are you creative because you're a warrior or because you're an explorer or because you are a saint or because you are a orchestrator? Or because you are a nurturer, cultivator. And so I asked Judy to contemplate herself using those types. I've never met anybody who's just one of those types. How do you show up in that profile?
So after reading, you're right. There's definitely more than one. One that I felt I was closest to was the saint.
Sure.
I am deeply motivated by what I do. My entire business is centered on helping children find their voice and supporting families through connection and communication. So I feel that my passion is one of those that seeps through everything. I want to say the artist as well. This play-based idea for young children is pretty. I haven't seen a lot of places that are doing this.
It was your vision.
Yes. So providing this play group therapy is so important in creating an environment and a community, even with parents that are like, hey, we're going through the same problem. Let's do a play day at the park. And we both know that our kids are maybe delayed. And so we can help each other in creating an environment that is safe, that is rich, and that really encourages our kids to socialize.
Outstanding. So pretty much those two?
Yes. Yes. Those are the two that I thought of.
Well, how much will that surprise you if I were to say to you, I see a good bit of warrior in you?
Oh, thank you.
Especially, I mean, I see a good bit of warrior in you.
Thank you.
As I see warrior as somebody who loves to compete.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm,
somebody
mm-hmm.
who loves to compete.
Yes.
And you strike me as somebody who's
yes.
really ready to get into the public square and show who you are and make things happen. And that's got a warrior quality.
Thank you. Thank you. I always say, just put me in front of whatever and I got this.
There
I can
go.
Sell it.
There you go.
So, yeah, I'm very passionate and people see it.
Outstanding.
Yes.
Outstanding. Well, folks, we're winding out down here now. And as always is so, the show and a short little write-up about the show will be on the website, chapelboro.com website, on Wednesday. And in that write-up, we will include links and contact information and from Judy's business and from her experience. And so it'll be there for you folks. We haven't shared it with you now because it's just so much easier to just direct you to the website in a couple of days. Judy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you. I am here for everyone out there that needs my services. You can check out laughingmonitos.com. You can email me. My email is there. Contact us or subscribe to our newsletter to find out tips and
awesome.
Ways to help your kids.
Oh, well, hear that, folks. There'll be a newsletter link on Wednesday as well. So thank you very much for listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.